Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last week, we started a little mini-series on ridiculously awesome faith, and so we're taking a few weeks to talk about that because, straight up, the thing that matters most in our walk with the Lord is that we are people of faith. Jesus didn't do many miracles in Nazareth. Why? Because their lack of faith, their little faith. If you and I want to receive from God, we need to believe God, we need to trust in the Lord, and we need to exercise that supernatural faith we talked about last week, letting God plant it in our heart, being sensitive when He does, and then hanging on to it and praying it into existence, the things He puts in our heart. And so we've been talking about faith, and the purpose is really not only to help us understand it, but then to learn from the people in Scripture whose lives demonstrated faith. And so tonight, we're going to look at a woman who had great faith. She was not one of the disciples. In fact, what's interesting is, on five different occasions, Jesus chides the disciples over their little faith, which tells us something that should be very shocking and very startling for every one of us who's following Christ. You can follow Christ, you can leave everything to follow Christ, and not have anything but little faith. This is interesting. They left all to follow Him. And yet, what's Jesus say to them on five separate occasions? He says, "O ye of little faith," look at it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, as He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples are right there. He's talking to them, "O you of little faith." Why? Because they're not willing to trust God to take care of their basic needs. Jesus says, look at the flowers of the field. Look at the birds of the air. If God takes care of them, do you think He's not going to take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. When you and I can't trust God for the basic things we need and trust that, you know what? He's a loving Heavenly Father. He's got it. We demonstrate little faith. Then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, they're out on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Jesus falls asleep. There's a storm that comes up. The disciples are afraid. Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care about my storm? They're questioning the care of the Lord. And Jesus says, you got little faith. To think I don't care about you, to think I can't take care of my own in this situation, you've got little faith. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, and there it is, Peter is looking at the wind and the waves. And when he's walking on water, but then he gets looking at the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. And you got to hand it to Peter, at least he's walking on the water. But at the same time, when you and I get more caught up in the circumstances that we're facing than keeping our eyes on Jesus, it's a sign of little faith. It's a sign of the weakness of faith. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8. Oh, you of little faith. Why? Because Jesus had warned them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of that. And they began to argue one another, you know, is it because we don't have any bread with us? And, you know, Peter's saying to Andrew, I thought your job was to take care of that. I thought you and Philip were on the bread detail. And Andrew's like, hey, just because I found the sack lunch, I mean, come on. And, you know, I mean, they're going back and forth. They're arguing among themselves because they don't have enough to eat. And Jesus is like, you still don't get it? Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000? Don't you get it that I can provide for you? When we fail to trust, when we become worried about provision, it's little faith. And then in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, we looked at that last time. They were asking, why couldn't we cast the demon out? Why couldn't we heal the boy? He says, because you have little faith. And you don't need a lot of faith. You just need faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. But then we meet a woman in Matthew chapter 15, and she is remarkable. She's one of only two people in the Gospel of Matthew who are commended for not just having faith, but having great faith. Having, and the word there is the word we get mega from. She had mega faith. And she wasn't Jewish, and she wasn't a disciple, but she was a person who had great faith. So what I want to do, we're going to walk through the story. I want to give you five principles just quickly, because I don't want to spend all of our time talking about faith. I want to spend our time in the presence of the Lord. Lord, believing God, listening to Him, letting Him speak to our heart, praying, talking with Him, and by faith, taking hold of the promises of God, that God might do something amazing, that God might do something supernatural, that God might do, are you ready for this, something that He really desires to do, but He's just waiting for us to trust Him. You know, when Jesus went to Nazareth, he marveled at their unbelief. He wanted to do a bunch of miracles, but he couldn't do it because they didn't believe. So you have to believe the heart of God and the desire of God is to do more than we can ask or imagine. But if we're not going to trust Him and we're not going to believe Him and we're not going to exercise the kind of faith in our prayers or in our prayer meeting that He desires, then we're not going to receive what we would receive otherwise. So, number one, a person with great faith brings their problems to Jesus. Verse 21, we'll pick it up there. And Jesus went away from there, withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. Literally, she's shrieking. She's wailing. She's crying out. And this is continual, crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." I mean, stop and enter into the reality, the tragedy of that situation, that here's a woman and her daughter is demonized. And everything we've talked about in our last series, when the devil knocks, and everything we've looked at in other stories in the Bible about people that are demonized, and everything that you could imagine that would be awful about that situation, in her case, it's that much and more. And she's brokenhearted, and she's desperate, and you can imagine that given the severity of this girl's need and the intensity of the mother's request, that probably there are all the things, self-harm, trying to kill herself, superhuman strength, shrieking and crying out through the night, tormented, all of that going on. And this mother, brokenhearted for, but great faith begins with going to Jesus. She goes to Jesus. She could have said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not Jewish, and I'm not one of the disciples, and I don't live in the land of Israel, and I don't," and she could have gone down the long list of reasons why it might not. And that's where a lot of people, the enemy likes to cause us to question and to doubt and to think, "Well, maybe, maybe not." This woman said, "Listen, there's one person that can help me, and that's Jesus. And I'm going to go to Jesus." Tonight, there are parents, and you've got kids that are away from the Lord. Go to Jesus. There are some of you got parents, or you got children, and they are out of control in your home. You don't know what's going to happen. You really, truly wonder what's going to happen. Rather than worry, go to Jesus. Pray and believe that God's going to do something. Second, a person with great faith is persistent in asking for Jesus' help. Look at it in verse 23. "But he did not answer her a word." Ever been there? When you went to Jesus and you're like, "Man, I'm calling out to him, but the heavens seem to be silent. I'm asking him, but I'm not hearing anything. Why won't he answer? Why won't he work? Why won't..." You know what? We need to stop going down that road of why, And we need to simply say, I'm going to him and I'm going to keep going to him, because if I go to him, the question isn't why, it's watch what he's going to do. It's looking for, it's just, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. It's going to be exciting when he does it, not why doesn't he do it. So she, look at it in verse 23, but he did not answer a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away. What does that imply? He's not answering, but she's not going to stop asking. You know, when it's quiet and you don't hear anything, keep on praying. When you haven't got the answer yet, keep on praying. Great faith never stops. Great faith keeps on going. Great faith asks and asks and asks and asks some more. This is a parable of the widow and the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. The judge said, listen, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but this widow keeps bugging me. So I'm going to see she gets justice, and I'm going to take care of it now to get her off my back. And Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God give justice and quickly? And then he asks us, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The question, the issue is, great faith constantly seeks God, regardless of what you see right now, what you feel right now, or what you don't hear right now. Great faith keeps seeking. Number three, a person with great faith believes God will make an exception for them. Let me put it to you this way. A person with great faith believes they're an exception to the rule. And this is really important, because here's what happens to a lot of people when they're up against it. Immediately what they do, what stops a lot of people is like, well, I know so-and-so, they believe God, but it didn't happen for them. Well, I know those people, they pray for healing and they didn't see it, or that person died, or this didn't happen, or that. And people have a tendency to talk about all the times they didn't see something happen. Well, I know, I looked, you know, and people can go down that road, and when you do, that's not the stuff of great faith. Great faith, in fact, it's interesting, Debbie and I were talking about a situation at the dinner table tonight. We were just talking a little bit, and we were just dialoguing, and I said, you know, it's interesting, tonight the message is on, one of the points is on, great faith believes that you're an exception to the rule. And so Debbie and I, on this situation, we're just believing we're an exception to the rule. And I think God is honored by that. I'm not looking at what he's done for anybody. I mean, hey, that can be encouraging, but I'm not going to rely on that. I'm going to hear from God what I believe God is speaking. I'm going to believe God's going to do it. And it doesn't matter whether I've ever seen it before or whether you've ever seen it before. Is absolutely, I got to be honest with you, it's absolutely immaterial to me. That you can't get caught up in that. You have, great faith says, listen, I believe God's going to do for me what maybe I've never seen him do for anybody else, because I believe he's a God who delights in doing more than I can ask or imagine. I can ask or imagine a lot. Yeah. I'm just saying, to believe God for big things honors God, delights the heart of God. To say, God, I believe, I'm waiting on you. And in our situation, it's something we feel the Lord has spoke to our heart individually. Aside, and then we got together and we're like, well, really, you're feeling the same thing? And so we're just believing God's going to do something in that whole area. So verse 24, he answered her. So she's crying out. The disciples are saying, please, 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 please move her along. Tell her to leave. He said to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So what you say, what's that mean? Well, God had a plan. The gospel was to the Jew first, the Gentile second. Israel would hear the gospel first. And Jesus came to the nation of Israel. Doesn't mean the gospel's not for everybody, but he would send the apostles out to preach to all the world. So he's simply saying, listen, now is not the time. I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the nation of Israel. Look at this, verse 25. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, he just said, wait, it's not your turn. And she's saying, I know it's not my turn, but I believe that you're going to make an exception for me. I love that kind of audacity. I love that kind of faith that says, you know what? Hey, Jesus, you can do it. I know you can, and I believe you're going to make an exception for me. This is great faith to believe that God's going to do something, even if he didn't do something for somebody else. God's going to do it because she's asking, Lord, help me. Yeah. Number four, a person with great faith is humble in approaching God. So look at it, verse 25, she came and knelt before him. So she kneels. Mark's gospel, his account says she fell prostrate before the Lord. So this is absolute desperation, and her prayer is very, very simple. It's not complicated. Lord, help me. That's a really good prayer. Some of you are new to walking with Christ, and maybe you're facing a really big problem. It's not the flowery nature of your prayer. It's not the sophisticated nature of your prayer. It's the heartfelt desperation coupled with the amazing faith, the mega faith that says, God, I believe you're the only one who can help me, and I believe you will. And so here she is, she's praying, and she's saying that, verse 26, and he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You say, wow, you know, that's really strong. Listen, if that offends you, that Jesus would say that to her, just think of it this way. It did not offend her at all. She doesn't say, well, if that's how you're going to be. And I've seen Christians who can get frustrated and irritated with either a response or lack of response that they get from heaven, and they can feel like, well, if that's how it's going to be, then I'm not. Listen, she could have walked away and said, well, if you're going to call me a dog and you're saying, but she doesn't do that. It does not stop her at all. And the fact of the matter is, he's drawing out of her a faith that will deliver her child and will instruct us. He's showing this person with great faith. Look at it. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, you're right. I get what you're saying. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And again, it's the idea of saying, listen, I don't deserve it. It's not about what I deserve. I get that. I don't deserve it. But I know you can do it. And I know I'm not of the people of Israel, but I also know you're a God who makes exceptions. And I'm asking you to do it. I mean, this is great faith. I don't know what you need, but God's a God who makes exceptions. God's a God who wants to show himself powerful. We're going to have the musicians come. Finally, a person with great faith receives answers from God. Look at what he says, verse 28. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, mega is your faith. Amazing. That's the word mega is the word there for great. You have mega faith. You have unbelievable faith. Mark 7 and verse 29, and he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. You know, because she spoke words of faith. You know, it doesn't do any good to pray the prayer of faith if you're going to walk out of here and speak the words of doubt. I mean, at some point, you got to be either in or you're out. Yeah. I mean, if she makes anything less than a faith-filled statement, she goes home empty-handed. That's what you have to conclude for this statement. For this statement, you made a faith-filled statement because you're speaking words of faith. Wow. God takes notice when you and I fill our vocabulary and our mouth with words that are faith-filled. If we go out of here and we say, you know, I just don't know, I prayed, I hope. That I hope is not a faith-filled statement. I don't know. That's not a faith-filled statement. Man, I'm just not sure. That's not faith-filled. Walking out of here, and listen, what will happen is as you make faith-filled statements, you will find that your faith is filled. As you start speaking words of faith, you'll find that your faith is strengthened. So as we come into the altar to seek God, be a person of faith. Verse 28 in Matthew 15, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. I don't know, but I believe this. I mean, we come into this place because we're praying because we believe God answers prayer. Some of those prayers are going to be instantly answered. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God wants us to become people of strong, amazing, mega faith. So I don't know what you need from the Lord, but I know the one who has it. She came and she said, "I am not going to stop asking till I get it." And she asked and she asked, and God answered. I don't know what you need. Let me just say this. We're going to open the altars. Come and talk to him about it. Do what the woman did. Exercise faith. And if you say, man, I'm struggling, then be like the dad in Matthew 17. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If you have it, admit it, and then move on from it. But let's seek him. Amen?